Welcome everyone to Yachting International Radio. You're with Corinne Rayson from the Crew Coach on Your Mental Health. Today I have with us Daisy, and Daisy works in the industry. And the reason why I'm speaking to Daisy today is because I released a story not so long ago with regards to a gentleman who had lost his son to suicide. And this week was his anniversary that he lost his son, and his son chose to end his life in December. And as a result of that Instagram story, Daisy has reached out, and Daisy has been a follower of the Crew Coach for a long time. She's one of our founding members and plays a big part in our community, very active. And I'm so grateful for her to be with us today and for her to share her story. So welcome, Daisy.
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity to share my story. And I hope it can reach people who really need some encourage. It would be a pleasure.
Thank you, Daisy. So what was it that you saw of the Instagram story that encouraged you to reach out?
Well, when I saw that everything that you shared, I felt that I should open my mouth. You know, I shared that I thought that I could make part of it, because when we are in that kind of situation of deeply sadness, we think that nobody else is there. It's just happening to us. You know, we feel like the whole world, it's everything unfair. And then when we see that there's more people going through this hard situation, we feel much more comfortable, you know, and our heart gets a little bit more calm, you know. And that's why I thought it would be nice. And then I wrote you everything that had happened to me, and yeah, that's why I felt that I could do something.
That's amazing. Well, so how did it all start for you with regards to, I know a bit of information, but to give the viewers and the listeners some perspective, what I hear you saying is that with grief and the things that we go through in life, our story may be different, but in some way our experience is the same. And that's what you're highlighting, is that you're not alone. Like we, with regards to trauma, yes, it can be a different experience, but the pain is very real for a lot of people. And that's how we can connect, is understanding what that pain actually feels like. So what happened for you with regards to that experience of pain?
Okay. Well, it all happened in Brazil. I had my own business with my fiancé. We started a small business, which was a small hotel and restaurant in the countryside. So, you know, I was 25 years old. So I had the whole life and all my dreams, everything with him. We were already living together. We had our house and, you know, like cars, the dogs, and our business. So we were basically one person, you know, because it was all together. And we had our dreams and everything. And the business were growing up like super good, you know. And then one day we decided to go for rafting, you know, with boats and in the river, you know.
Yeah, so how long ago was this?
It was in 2017, so 3 years ago.
Not long ago, yeah.
No. And then I remember that I woke up and I told him, listen, we are too tired. What about we just cancel it? And then he told me, well, but we have been working a lot. Let's go and have some fun as well. I was like, okay. And then we went. And actually, it was with part of my family as well, you know, my aunt, my cousin. So it was kind of a family trip. And then we went there. My uncle, he was one of the instructors, you know, and then we started, and basically the river was super calm. It wasn't even super fun because the water was calm, you know, and it was supposed to be more exciting.
Adventurous, yeah.
Adventurous, exactly. And then, well, one of the instructors, she asked him, hey, come, his name was Cassio, come to my boat and then we can go down together at least for 10 minutes. And then he jumped to his boat. I remember that he wasn't super excited to do it, but then he did. And then they went together. And it was like this river in this company, they've been doing it over 20 years. And every day is like 4, 5, 6 boats that go through, you know. And then suddenly the boat turned upside down. But it was supposed to happen now because it was the time that everybody jumps in the water and everybody has some fun, you know. So then my aunt, she looked at me, she told me, I cannot see them. I was like, how? They're there. And then I saw the boat and this instrument that but I don't know the name in English.
The paddle?
I guess. Yeah, the paddle, yes. And then I saw it and I couldn't see them. And then I was like, that's impossible. And then the other instructor went there and I called my uncle like, come on, I cannot see them and everything. And then you don't know what's going on. You cannot. And then he came like running, but it's a river, you know, you need to jump the rocks and everything and get there. So what happened is it was such a small place, like let's say 1 meter, you know, like this. But I don't know the river, how it calls, but it sucks the person down. You know?
Yes, yeah.
And in this place, it was like over the three meters deep, you know, because after that the people were trying to do everything. It was like, my gosh, it's 3 meters deep, this place, and the water actually was pretty shallow. It was like 1 meter water, no even less than that. Anyway, and then I started getting super nervous, of course, and then I started crying. Then I wanted to go there and to see if I could see him and blah, blah, blah. But people hold me back. And I was like, no, you cannot go. Wait, the instructor, they will figure it out. And then I just remember that I don't know if I can tell it, but I trust a lot in God. And then I just put my knees on the floor and was like, God, please, I cannot do a miracle, but I trust that you can. And then I was praying so hard and beating the rock and everything. Mm-hmm. And then 10 minutes passed and I was like, my gosh. But his arm actually, it was out of the water, you know, his arm, but he was stuck under the rock.
My gosh. Yeah.
And then finally they could rescue him. And then my uncle put him on the rock and tried to do all the, you know, the procedure and everything. And then he's like, he's not answering, let's bring him to the land and everything. But then we were in the middle of the river. We had no phone, sign, anything, internet, anything. And then I helped to put him on the boat. I'm sorry, it's a little hard, you know. And then I helped to put him on the boat, and we were trying to you know, to go as fast as possible until we see land and other people to help us. But the other instructor, nobody could find him in that time. So they stayed there looking for him. And some of us went with my fiance, you know, and I didn't know if he was alive, if he was dead. It was something that we tried to imagine, but when you're in that situation, you don't know what to do, what is going on actually. And then we found the land and everything. We put him there, and then we started call the hospital and emergency and everything. And it took more than 1 hour for them to get there. And then it came like helicopter, ambulance, police, and everybody. But it was like 1 hour. And I remember that I was crying like, please stay here with us and everything, you know. And then, but I thought when they came with the shock, you know, when you do this shock, and then I was like, that's going to happen and he's going to come back and everything is going to go back to normal. But no. And then they explained me that you need to have at least like a small sign for the machine to be able to release that. And then when they told me, no, there's nothing that we can do. And then I was like,
gosh,
no,
You want to believe it. Yeah.
Completely gone. And then, you know, when you see people putting like this plastic or something, I couldn't.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And then I was screaming. And my brothers were trying to, they got there at this time. They were trying to hold me. And anyway, like the life for me was gone. It was done. You know, for me, I didn't want to do anything else. And it was really, 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 really hard.
My gosh, I'm so sorry, Daisy. That's so traumatic. How scary.
It is.
Being part of it from the get-go, and to even, it sounded like your intuition was telling you something at the very beginning not to go that big.
Exactly. And the problem is, and then you feel guilty, you know, you feel like I should have gone there. And why I did, you know, but then it's something that also we need to forgive ourselves, because it's not our fault, you know. But then you feel so guilty, you feel like the worst person in the world and everything. And imagine for me to tell to his family, you know, he was there in that city living with me, you know, and his whole family was like in another like 600 kilometers away. So, and how to deal with this? And yeah, it was really, really hard situation. And but we need to forgive ourselves. Otherwise, like, it's too heavy. It's something that too heavy to carry.
Yeah. So then how did you work through that process of forgiveness?
Well, first of all, I think like people, they try to help you. They try to tell you things, but nothing that they can tell you will make you feel better, you know. So in that part, that moment, I remember that, well, first of all, for a couple of days I couldn't even wake up alone, you know, like shower. My mom was helping me, everything, because I was so weak, you know, every single thing. But then I spoke with one friend of mine. Actually, she's a little older, and she lost her husband as well. They were about to complete like 30 years married and everything, and everything was planned as well, like travel and everything. And then she was kind of, you know, I was identifying my situation with her, you know. And then she was talking to me every day. She was like, Daisy, calm down, please, it's just the time, nothing is gonna happen like to make you feel better.
Yeah,
it's just the time, like day by day and everything. And then I was like, but that's not fair. I remember that I was crying with her every day. I was like, but that's not fair. Why those horrible things happen to good people, you know? Like, he was just 32. We had the whole life. And, you know, I think when you talk to people that passed through it already, or people who are in the same situation as you, it helps you to feel a little better, as I told you at the beginning. But and then it was a little bit constant as well. I just thought, I cannot bring this heavy thing inside me. You know, I need to forgive me. It wasn't my fault. For example, the car could have broken, and then it wouldn't be my fault, you know. And then I thought maybe it was supposed to be, but I don't know why, you know. And I think in that time, faith was like what happened me the most, because it was like, first of all, I was super like upset with God and everything. It was like, you're not fair and everything. But after that, I think it was that what makes me overcome this, you know, faith that everything happens for a reason, even though it's not what we want, but everything happens for a reason. You know, I think like God, it was like, you know, when you're parents and you bring your kids to the hospital and they are crying, but you know that it's for their own sake, you know, they need to pass through it. And I felt in that moment like it was God bringing me to some hospital or something, and then I was crying like crazy, but he couldn't do anything. But in some way, it needs to happen, you know.
So saying that it comes along with forgiveness, acceptance, and surrender.
Yeah.
So accepting the situation for what it is, but also letting go.
Exactly. Except that I think faith, that except that everything happens for a reason, you know, like it's not my fault, it wasn't his fault, it wasn't the instructor's fault or the river or anything, but I think it's something else, you know, bigger that we can imagine, you know. That's what made me accept. Exactly. Except, I think is the best word right now. Like, you disagree, I disagree completely, but I accept what God wanted to do, and you know, it makes me.
Okay, so now from what you've told me, what I understand is that you weren't in the yachting industry as yet. You
No.
decided to go to America and have some time out, and you
Yes.
spent some time with some friends to heal and recover. So what happened during that time for you? What came up for you, and how did you move forward?
Yeah. So what happened is I had my family for 1 month, for example. Sometimes my mom was sleeping over with me, sometimes my brother at my home. But I feel like everybody has their own lives. So I know that sooner or later they would, you know, take care of themselves. And what about me, you know? And I was in such a deeply sadness, and I was like, nobody will pull me up, you know, other than myself. I need to do it myself. And you know, I felt like everybody was unfair, like people still laughing, people still traveling, people still doing their own things, and your life is completely stopped and everything. So I just realized, like, nobody can cry my tears and nobody can laugh for me, you know. I need to do it myself. And then I couldn't take care of the business together because it was in the farm side and everything, and it was kind of big just for me and dangerous because Brazil is a kind of dangerous, right? And then I was like, I need to start all over again, and what am I gonna do? And in that time, one friend of mine, she wrote me on Facebook. She was like, Daisy, I know what happened, and if you want to come here just to refresh your mind a little bit, and you can stay at my place and everything. And if at the moment I was like, no, I cannot do anything right now. But then I thought better, because to travel like this, to go to USA or to live abroad, it was one of my dream when I was younger, you know. And then I spoke to my mom, and you know, and then she was like, yes, you should do, definitely you should do, I'll buy your tickets and everything. I was like, no, okay, but wait, because my mom and my parents, they weren't super consoling, you know. They were more rational. Like my mom, I remember one day I was crying, on like sitting on the floor and crying, just my dog was with me, and she arrived and she told me, he's never gonna come back anymore. Doesn't matter how much you cry, are you gonna go and do something or not? And I was like, oh my gosh, mom, you know. And it made me feel like more, even more, like I need to do something. Nobody will do it for me, you know. And then I decided to go and travel and visit that friend, you know. And it was the best decision I ever made, except in that moment, you know. And then I went to USA, and then I was supposed to stay there just for 3 months maximum. But then I started like learning another language and keeping my mind busy, and everything was new, you know, the whole environment. So it made me live a different, in a different way, you know. And my mind was busy all the time. I was learning a lot of new things, and it was in that point that I started bringing colors again to my
Your
life, you
life,
know. Because
yeah.
yeah, and it was very, I'm so grateful for that moment. And there I stayed for 1.5 years, and then I was afraid about to go back to Brazil, but my visa was about to expire. And then I had to leave. Yes. And then I went back to Brazil, and I had to go to our business to remove all
Finalize.
the furniture and everything, you know. And his motorcycle was there, everything was there, you know. But I had to face it. I have to face it. I couldn't, you know, skip it. And then I went there with my mom, and we stayed there for almost 1 month fixing everything. And, you know, and it was hard, of course, as well. I was super afraid, but it was good as well, you know, in other words, you know, because I had to face it and I saw everything again. And yeah, and I had to fix it. And it was in that moment as well that one friend of mine told me about the yacht industry. Mm-hmm. Because I was planning to go back to USA to study, but then she told me about the yacht. And because we've been working with hotels and hospitality for over 6 years, she told me, Daisy, I think it will be a great opportunity for you. And you know, and when she told me about everything, and I remember that my eyes were like
lighting up.
Super. Yeah, I was like, I can't believe that it really exists, you know?
Yeah.
And I told her, I need to try, I need to do it. Yeah. And then I started. I started, like, I got my STCW in Brazil, and I had a Europe trip with my mom already planned. And I told her, Mom, we were already going to Spain. And I told her that I would like to go to Palma and start looking for yacht. And she supported me. She was like, yeah, you should do it. But we didn't know exactly how it would be and everything, because in Brazil it is not popular at all. But then I'm happy that she supported me, and she always do, actually. She always supported me to, like, to go and try new things. And, you know, in one hand, she's not like super console and, oh, come here, which was good for me. Otherwise, I would be maybe there until now, you know, like, oh, my God, life is so unfair and everything, you know. But because she's like that, it made me go and try to find my own path again, you know. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, the yacht as well was amazing. And then it was so hard at the beginning, I think. Everybody knows how hard it is at the beginning, and because you have no experience and everything, but every single moment was worth it. I was trying. I started with day work and, you know, all the Marines, duck walking and everything, but it was really, really good. Oh, but
the water.
Sorry. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because even before then, with your STCW 95, I know that I had to, you know, you go into the water and you've got, yes, to do, you know, the lifeboat scenario and all that.
Yes.
I've got images of it, but it was a long time ago. It was 10 years ago. So, and because it's to do with safety and rescue, was that a big trigger,
yes,
for you?
Definitely. Like, I remember... just for you to have an idea, in USA, one day I was walking the dog with my friend, and she went to just like turn the right, and it was a small river for the dog to swim. And I remember that I shocked. I was like, oh my God. And then I ran away like crying already, you know, because I couldn't see water. I couldn't see this again. And even though to go to the sea, I remember the first time that I could go in the sea again, my brother was holding my hand. And he's a surfer, and I was like, I can't. And then, you know, like, just little by little, put your, because you can imagine, I'm not being dramatic or anything, but no. I think when you go through this, you know how hard it is. So, and then when she told me about, of course, the water, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do it. And then I called my dad. I was like, Dad, what do you think? And he's like, I think, again, you should face it. And then I was like, okay, I will try. And when I went to take the STCW, yeah, I had to jump in a platform for 3 meters, right, with all the equipment and everything. And I remember that I spoke to the instructor, to the guys, and I was like, please, like, if something happened, just get me, because I had this trauma. So, you know. And they was like, okay, I'll keep an eye on you. And but this part was fine. But I remember that we had to pretend that we were like sinking or something, that we went to a small place. And this, it was so hard for me. And then I couldn't breathe, you know. I was like, oh my God, I cannot be here. I cannot. but then I it's our mind. We need to work our mind. It's like, calm, days, calm. It's just for 10 minutes. Calm, calm, you'll be fine. And, you know, little by little. And when I came here and I actually started on boats, like last season, I could work in a 55 meters and it was a great experience. But all the drills and everything.
Yes, yeah.
Oh my God, all the drills and everything. And, you know, like, imagine to live in the sea, like after pass through all of this, for me, it was a huge challenge. And all the drills, I remember one day the captain told me to go to the laundry and pretend that fire and everything like we are used to. And everybody, all the guys, they put me in this.
Yes, yeah.
And yeah, and again, I was like, please, I cannot be here for that long. And please, you know, and well, many, many, many cases that I have to control my mind and my emotions and everything. But also, when you go through this, our mind is tricky, you know, because, for example, when you start laughing again or when you start to have some kind of fun again, your mind makes you believe that you shouldn't do it, you know, like, why are you being happy or something? You are supposed to cry and to be sad all the time, you know.
And then
yes, you know, when you start feeling a little better, when you start, you know, and then I remember that every time that it came to my mind, I asked myself, what would he wanted me to do?
Yeah.
You know? And then I was like, no, he wouldn't like to see me crying all the time. He would like to see me trying and, you know, trying to be happy again and everything, you know? And many times I put myself in his situation. If I was that and he was here, I wouldn't like to see him suffering for that long because it's horrible. It's horrible, you know? That's also why I tried to work as possible, and facing it, I think, is the best way.
Yeah, and it's because I can relate to an accident that I had on a motor scooter accident, and my ankle was completely shattered. In terms of talking about the power of our mind, because what you went through is absolutely awful. I don't know if I would ever have the strength to do what you've done and how you have pushed through. Even talking to you right now, I can imagine it's so hard to retell that story. How are you feeling in terms of sharing this?
Yes, it is. And of course, for some months and years, I couldn't speak the way that I'm speaking right now. But I feel for the purpose of I'm talking about it right now. You know, if I'm helping anybody, or if it, you know, if I can get through a heart that it needs to hear what I'm talking right now, it makes me have power to talk about it, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And this is the sole purpose of this platform, is to make an impact. And it's not about ourselves saying, poor me, this is what happened to me. It's about, I get you, I understand, this is my story, and hopefully you can relate or feel a sense of hope from the story that things will get better.
Yes, I think so, and I hope so, not just for me, but for everybody who is passing through it. And I think it's the time and the faith and those things that makes a really, really big difference on our life in that moment. And accept and really realize that it's not your fault, you know, it's not your fault, and you couldn't do anything about it. And have patience to see that it's going to get better. You know, it's going to get better. And if one day we can help others through our story, like, it's also good, you know, it's also a really good point, you know. And don't give up. That's what I would like to say to people, like, don't give up. It will get better.
Yeah. So then tell me, do you feel comfortable in terms of sharing a little bit about what your life looks like now? Are you still in the industry? Well, what's happening for you at the moment in your life?
Okay. Okay. So right now I have a boyfriend. You know, it was also one thing that we need to work, right, on ourselves. Like, I need to give myself a chance to try other
find love.
To keep going, right, with my life. And so I'm so grateful for him right now as well, because I have a place to stay here, and he's supporting me a lot about everything, you know, psychological way and everything, because I'm super, like, I need to be productive. I put myself a lot of pressure, you know, but now is the time that we need to calm, you know, like, the whole world stopped, so why don't we stop our heart and our mind to listen to ourselves and to see what's happening inside us, you know. And in this moment I have the opportunity to do that. Also, I'm studying, and I still working for, I still applying for new positions for both, because I think I have more to experience and to see in the yacht industry, you know. And to contribute, maybe. And yeah, I had a really good experience. My chief too, she's awesome. Now we are friends, and it was a really good experience, and I want to have it more, you know, to keep going to it. But also, if I don't know if we're gonna have a season or not, also my boyfriend, he's seen all other options in case that boats doesn't go back to normal right now, and then maybe I can find a job or try to work online. I'm seeing all the options, and let's see how it goes.
Hands out. Well, things are starting to lift, so crossing fingers, it's all going to work out, and you'll find your way back on the yacht again.
Yes.
So with regards to this time of quiet and stillness, have you had any profound reflections or any aha moments, as Oprah Winfrey would say, during this time?
Yes, I did. My grandpa, he also died in Brazil about 3 weeks ago. And yeah, he was already sick and everything. But when you receive the notice, it's always hard. Nobody, even though you're kind of know that it can happen, you're not never ready, you know. Yeah. And then also because of him, but in that day, I cried from the time that I woke up until I got to sleep again, because I remember it brought me all the feelings that I had when my fiance died, you know. And then I was crying, and I was like, but what's going on? And then I was thinking, I had the feeling that I keep looking for something that I lost in 2017. If you know what I mean. I felt like, oh, you are going to USA, you are going to Europe, you are going to blah, blah, blah. But you're still looking for something that you lost already, you know, like a family or to belong to something or to someone, like even professionally way and personal way as well, you know. And then I felt like, you know, you're putting all your energy to find something that you lost, you know. And I got this contradiction in my mind and in my heart. And then I tried to think about it, you know, what am I looking for actually, you know.
And, you know, I think, as you said before, about putting pressure on ourselves, I think it's a normal thing for us to do, is to think about what's next. How can I be better? What can I achieve next? What's the next thing? And in terms of personal growth and advancement, we got to be quiet and we have to be still to really understand, you know, what is it that's missing, as you mentioned, what's going on inside of us that we're looking for? Because usually when we project and we look for it externally, it's sitting within ourselves, it's intrinsic. So it's like, if we're looking for that sense of belonging, we might look for it in a relationship, or look for it in a hobby or in a job. But maybe it's about loving ourselves and being kind to ourselves and building the relationship with ourselves first before having connections with other things in our lives.
Definitely. Definitely. And another thing that I realized, also, I've been doing some coaching sections with a friend from Brazil as well, you know, and in one of, she's more like my psychologist, you know, because it's also helps a lot. That's why I admire your job that much, you know. That's why I think it's super important for everybody that you are supporting, because everybody needs help. We cannot achieve anything alone. But I was talking to her and I felt so bad, because I told her, look, I study, and I didn't get my degree. I try, but now I don't have a job. I did, but now what do I have? I have nothing, you know? And then I was like, but why? And I realized that, let me see if I can explain in English, but everything that I achieved is not countable. Like, it's not, I bought a house, I have this degree and this master degree and this. It's nothing something that I can bring here and show you, you know. It's not physical, but everything that I achieve, it's inside me, you know. It's things that I will bring for me forever, and nobody can take it away from me, you know. And in the end, I was like, what is more valuable, you know? Probably everything that I've learned, everything that I've done, probably this is more valuable than a house, than my car, or than my degree, or everything, you know. But it was so hard to see, because it's not countable, that I couldn't understand what I have achieved, you know.
Yeah, it's not concrete. And that's the thing, yes. Like when we go to our own graves, we don't take our house with us to our grave, or our piece of paper that states
exactly.
Our degree. It's about our legacy. It's about the lives we've touched, and it's the impact that we've made, our contribution. And that's what will be left behind. And that's how our legacy lives on. But someone else, random, is going to buy the house, or, you know, the degree is not going to help anyone else. But it's being conscious of your behaviors and what you can contribute to our world to make it a better place.
Exactly. And I think that's why we cannot compare our lives with others. And we have this horrible habit. We always compare, you know, and we cannot, because they didn't have the same story as we did, you know. And everybody has your own things. And yes, as you said, like, it's much more important and valuable, everything that we achieved, but not necessary degrees, cars, and everything. Of course it is important, but, you know, what is more important for us? That's why, you know, we cannot compare.
No, we can't. That's such a valuable information right there. I mean, you've just offered so much in so many different aspects. Thank you so much, Daisy, for joining me on Yosing International Radio and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Wanted to reach out to you, obviously they can reach out to myself, but if they wanted to ask you personal questions, do you feel comfortable in sharing your details, for example, your Instagram handle, if people wanted to reach out?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It would be a pleasure.
So what is your handle on Instagram?
Is Daisy Florencio. Just my name.
You'll have to spell it out for those that are listening.
Okay, so Daisy, Daisy, Florencio, Florencio.
Perfect. There we go. Well, thank you so much, Daisy, once again. And looking forward to still, you know, having that relationship that we do have on Instagram, but now it's just gone to the next level. And yeah, I appreciate yes. your time and for yourself in terms of sharing such a difficult story. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for your time as well, for the platform. And as I told you, I hope it can get and can warm up a couple hearts.
I'm sure it will.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.